Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. Carrington Harrison here. Dusty Likens next up on the Trying to Find a New Producer World Tour. To my right, donning the red of the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Ashamed to wear his Chiefs red today. And I don't blame him. The one, the only Brad Fanning. How you doing today?
I'm not good, man. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not good. I'm emotionally hungover, C-Dot. I'm not good today. I'm not good at all. I know it's supposed to be 50 for the next 3 days. The sun's out. There's no clouds. It's Friday. I'm not good today.
So there's a lot to get into in today's show. Coming up in about 30 minutes, as we always do after a Chiefs game, we'll get to something good and something bad from yesterday's loss against the Los Angeles Chargers. We'll all take a minute. We'll give you a chance to win a prize to the other place. We got a lot of stuff to get into today's show. Save a reminder on your phone. Bill Moss will be in studio with us for the 5 o'clock hour. As you would imagine, there are a lot of things to talk about from yesterday's loss to the Los Angeles Chargers. Maybe this is how I want to start today's show. I'm calling today Honesty Conversation Day. We got to start having some honest conversations about the Kansas City Chiefs. Because I feel like Patrick Mahomes has put a glow over Kansas City that we can't discuss anything around the team, that everything has to be wrapped around Patrick Mahomes and him wearing cool hoodies and cool jackets.
That was
none
cool
of that
hoodie,
today.
Man. Yeah, that was a cool
today
hoodie.
We're having honest conversations about the Kansas City Chiefs. Ain't no hating involved. We're having honest conversations about the Kansas City Chiefs. That's what I'm calling it. That's the kind of energy I'm bringing today on a Red Friday.
What are we calling it today?
Honest conversation days about Andy Reid, about Mahomes, about the defense, about the popcorn, whatever involving the Kansas City Chiefs.
What about the beer?
We're having honest conversations about the Chiefs.
Okay.
This is where I want to start today's show. I said this after the Rams game. I was called a hater. I was called negative and all the things in the world. There are three things I am 100% sure of watching the Chiefs last night and watching the Chiefs every snap, every game this season. We can go down the line. Number one, their best defense continues to be scoring 35 points and daring you to keep up. If this offense is not historic, if this offense is not great, if they're not 07 Patriots, if they're not 99 Rams, if they're not the Peyton Manning team from 2013, if they are not all-time offensive, they are incredibly vulnerable. We've seen that in multiple scenarios, whether it was the game against the Arizona Cardinals. I'm not saying they were going to lose that game, but the offense wasn't elite. Maybe that game was a little bit more uncomfortable than you wanted it to be. In the game against the Baltimore Ravens, offense was not great. Now, they were certainly good against a top-ranked defense. Their offense was not historic. Their offense was not all-time great. That was a team that needed a 4th-and-9 incredible pass from Patrick Mahomes to win the game. Yesterday, we agree. Their offense was not great. Was it good enough to win? Probably so.
Yeah.
But the offense was not all-time yesterday. Their offense was not historic yesterday. And their defense is not good enough to lift up the rest of the team. I've been saying all season, their best defensive player is Patrick Mahomes. Better than Chris Jones, better than Dee Ford, better than Kendall Fuller. Their best defenses, they can put so much pressure on the opposing team's offense that they feel like they got to go out there and they got to score every single time they get the ball. I'm tired of having these conversations about the defense. Their best defense is their offense. So number one here, and we can go down the line, their best defense continues to be scoring 35 points and daring other teams' offenses to keep up. If this offense isn't historic, we've seen time and time again they are incredibly vulnerable and you can beat this team.
Here's the thing, though, man. The offense was good enough to win last night. On three separate occasions, the Chiefs had 14-point leads at home against a Chargers team that lost Keenan Allen. They didn't have one reception last night. They didn't have their two best running backs in Gordon and Eckler. Three separate times, the offense gave the defense 14-point leads at home, at night, with Eric Berry back. At least for a half. So to me, the offense did its job last night. So I'm not banging on the offense last night. I know they didn't score the 35. They didn't score their average. But if you're going to go out there and give your defense three separate two-touchdown leads and they've got a 14-point lead with under 5 minutes to go at home at night at Arrowhead, to me, that's good enough.
I got some questions about the offense, but I don't want to get to the offense yet. I agree with you. You score 28 points at home. You have a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter. That should be good enough to win. I will say for the offense, though, this offense that we were calling the greatest show on turf and the quarterback we're talking about winning MVP, You had the ball with 4 minutes to go, and I think everybody watching the game, you felt it, I felt it. If you've watched the Chiefs, if you watched Missouri, if you lived in this area, you knew. If the Chiefs punted the ball back to Los Angeles, they were going to be in trouble. You talk about MVP moments and asking your quarterback to step up and being big-time players in big-time plays in big-time games. This offense had the ball with 4 minutes to go, and you knew they had to do something. They had to get the ball to midfield. They had to flip field position. They could not do it three and out. They punted the ball back. We all know how the story went. Again, I'm not blaming the offense for what happened yesterday.
I would blame the play calling in that series more than anything, and the penalties. I mean, you get Charvarius Ward with a penalty on the kickoff that sets you back. You get Demetrius Harris jumping. You call a run play that the offensive line gets absolutely blown up. And he dropped for what, 3-4, 5-yard loss? Then you have a pass completion, and then Mahomes has no time to throw. That one's not on Mahomes. Like, that drive isn't on Mahomes. If you want to put it on anybody, put it on the O-line and put it on Andy Reid on that one.
Second, I would say, that I'm 100% sure of after last night. Eric Berry is not a luxury for this team.
Isn't he?
I know he plays safety, and that might not be as valuable as defensive tackle. That might not be as valuable as your number one corner. That might not be as valuable as D Ford, outside linebacker, and guys that get to the quarterback. I don't know how you can watch this team for 14 games now and see how they look for the 30 minutes that they had Eric Berry, the command he had of that defense, even with the rust on him. He's directing people, telling them where to go, being the captain of the defense,
yeah.
And then watch all the other defensive series we've seen for the Kansas City Chiefs and not think that he's a necessity. That I've been saying it, and you've been, man, this team can get sacks. They can create pressure.
This defense
cannot consistently get stops. We've known that from the time being, that if they don't have Eric Berry, yes, they can get to the quarterback at times. Yes, they can get interceptions. I don't trust this defense for a second to consistently get stops like you need. The only hope for this defense, in my mind, is having Eric Berry. So he is not a luxury for this team. He's not a nice thing to have. He is an absolute necessity if they don't have good Eric Berry going into the postseason. So if you got to put him in duct tape, if you got to wrap him in saran wrap, if you got to put him in layaway to take him out in January, Eric Berry is an absolute necessity for this team. Number one, their best defense continues to be scoring 35 points and daring the other offense to keep up with them. And two, Eric Berry is not a luxury for this team. I don't want to hear they won all these games without Eric Berry. I'm talking about, can they win in January without Eric Berry? I think we are starting to see that this defense, the answer is no.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Because look at the defense with Eric Berry on the field in the first half, and look what happened in the second half. I don't think it's even close. I was impressed as hell with what Eric Berry did last night. You know, there were two things that I had down in my notes about Eric Berry specifically. When the Chargers were, what did they have, first or second goal, I think, Eric Berry just came in there and blew up a run play. Like, you don't see Ron Parker and Dan Sorensen or Eric Murray doing that. And in that same series, Eric Berry, if you go back and watch the game on TV, Eric Berry was tearing into Orlando Scandrick because he wasn't where he was supposed to be. And that was the same series. 7 points with Eric Berry on the field, 22 without him. That's the difference. I'm with you 100%. I was impressed with Eric Berry. They got to have him now. They absolutely have to have him if they want to have a chance.
And last thing here, and I don't want anyone to confuse this with blaming the officials for why the Chiefs lost yesterday. The officiating in the NFL is bad. Like, all-time bad, potential crisis right now in the NFL. This is not a the Chiefs got screwed. This is not a the Chargers got screwed. The NFL officiating right now is at an all-time epidemic, I would say, and damages the foundation of the league on both sides. One of the holding calls that they called on Daniel Sorensen is one of the worst calls I've ever seen in my entire life.
That's the one where he almost had the interception on, and he was guarding Antonio Gates, right?
For them to miss I thought, helmet-to-helmet hit on Phillip Rivers at the end of the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And then, in my opinion, like, it's basketball, make the makeup call to then give him a pass interference. That ain't how it works. I'm sorry. I don't think the Chiefs lost because of the officiating, but we got to have a conversation about the NFL officiating and how bad it is. Whether it's your all-star cruise against the Los Angeles Rams, whether it was last night. Man, I watch too much NFL. I read too much about it. I follow it too much. This is a complaint around the league. This ain't a Chiefs issue. This ain't a Chargers issue. This ain't a fill-in-the-blank issue. This is an NFL issue. The refereeing in the NFL is an absolute joke. It is a problem. It is broken, and it needs to be fixed sooner rather than later.
I think the thing with the NFL, I don't think officials know what to do. I don't think they know what to call and when to call it. I think they're so gun-shy, they've been so micromanaged, and everything they do is under such microscope with all the instant replay and all the rule changes and all the things that the NFL wants them to do. I don't think they know what it is anymore. I don't think they know what a legitimate hold is. I don't think officiating knows, okay, this is the time when we let them play. So I think guys are afraid to make mistakes, to not make mistakes. I don't think they know what to do or what not to do. I really think that. So I'm with you. I think it's an NFL issue. It's not like an individual official issue. It's like, man, do I call that? Do I not call that? What if I don't call it? And it does get called. And then there's five different camera angles that say it shows that I was wrong. But what if I call it and then I'm wrong? I think those guys are so micromanaged and so far under the microscope right now with the league that they call everything. Or they don't call anything. I'm with you. It hampers every single part of the game. You know, the Sorensen call is the one that I think that was the worst call of the night. You know, I could get with...
I thought they did that multiple times, but yeah, that might have been the worst.
That was the worst. That was the absolute worst on that because that led to a touchdown. Like, that play led to a touchdown.
I mean, to also be fair on the other side, though, the Chiefs got kind of bailed out with the penalty.
They got bailed out, too. Yeah, absolutely.
The officiating was bad on both sides. Someone on this text line says, every time the Chiefs lose, someone mentions the refs, take an L and move on.
That's not what this is about.
Not blaming the officials for why the Chiefs lost at all. The Chiefs got outplayed. You got a 14-point lead at home with 5 minutes to go. You better find a way to scratch and claw and win that victory. But I don't know how you can watch enough NFL and come to the conclusion that the officiating in the NFL is bad. Again, we're having honest conversations here today. There's some things wrong with the Chiefs. Yes, they're 11-3. They got a chance to be the one seed. They got a chance to be the number one. They got a chance to have home field advantage. All of that's true. We've watched the Chiefs every week, every snap, every offensive play, every defensive play. There are some things wrong with this team. Yeah. And I think if you're watching them more and more, you can start to see how this team can go to the Super Bowl. You can also see how they can lose in the second round of the playoffs. Like, you can start to see the scenario in which things don't maybe go the way you think they could go. Because there were certain times in that game you were thinking to yourself, man, the Chiefs can run away with this thing.
Yeah, 14-0.
Man, early in the game, I'm thinking, man, if the Chargers don't score here, it is about to get out of hand for them. And the offense couldn't pull away the way they normally do. They couldn't put their foot on the neck of the Los Angeles Chargers.
Yeah.
They haven't been able to do that in a while, I would say. The Chiefs haven't been able to. Man, the first half of the season, the game against Pittsburgh, they just got so far ahead. The game against the Chargers the first time, they just got so far ahead. They have not been able to do that, I would say, the last 4 or 5 weeks. So there are some serious questions about this team, but you and I were having this conversation. You still are 11-3. Let's have a little bit of woo-saw when it comes to this. And let's look at the big picture and the small picture from yesterday's game. Coming up in just a bit, the big news was Eric Berry returned last night. How did he look? We'll discuss it coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll get to something good and something bad from yesterday's Chiefs loss against the Los Angeles Chargers. I'll say this. I think the Chiefs do a good job of creating great game day atmosphere and environment. From the parking lot to in the stadium, I think the Chiefs do a really good job. If you paid for a ticket yesterday or someone gave you tickets, you got robbed of a moment yesterday.
Did you see the tweet that guy sent out last night?
I don't know who that guy is.
Who's that guy? Yeah,
I don't know who that guy is.
Well, on Fanny's rundown, it just said that guy. Scott, I want to say it's Cruce. C-R-U-C-E. It says this. I took my 12-year-old son to his first big-time Chiefs game tonight. It had everything. Drama. Great crowd. Kicking the nuts. Everything. Welcome to hashtag Chiefs Kingdom, Landon.
It's part of the family now, man.
I mean, if you're a Chiefs fan or a Missouri fan, you've been in attendance for one of those games.
Yeah, that felt like that Kentucky game this year.
Oh, my goodness. Why do you have to go there on your seat, huh? It's Friday. It's beautiful outside.
He read it. I didn't say anything. You're blaming me for it.
No, he was saying the Kentucky thing. He said, Kentucky game.
I
didn't have to bring Mizzou.
No, I mean, it was very Mizzou-ish yesterday. Yeah. I would say Bob Sutton brought Missouri into it. Andy Reid brought Missouri into it. That's what it looked like yesterday.
Yeah, that tweet you had with the Spider-Mans pointing at each other. Perfect.
That happens all the time. So I think Arrowhead robbed you of a moment. How in the world does Eric Berry not get – how does the defense not get introduced and Eric Berry doesn't get introduced last? Now, I know they alternate and that the defense got announced for the game against the Baltimore Ravens, but this is one of those things, hey, we got this. Somebody, Mark Donovan, I don't know who makes the decisions over there, but you got to say, hey, you know what? We got to do something abnormal because today is an abnormal situation. You could see from all the pregame videos of how emotional Eric Berry was. If you were a fan there – they cheated you a little bit. They didn't do what they were supposed to do from a game day environment with Eric Berry. Mark Donovan, you got that one wrong, my guy.
You think it's Mark Donovan? It's somebody. Because somebody. Why can't you just let the offense run out in the Raider game? Who cares? Give the offense the Raider game. Just flip-flop it, man. I'm with you. That's all anybody was talking about yesterday was Eric Berry and his return. I mean, the broadcast talked about it. Everybody in town was talking about Eric Berry. The video to get everybody fired up this week, you had a golden opportunity right in front of you. Like, did Lamar put it in the bylaws somewhere that you can't flip-flop these? I mean, is this one of those things that you just can't change? They missed out. Like, EB should have been running out there with flames last night.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense why that wasn't the case yesterday. I don't know what kind of feeling you guys had watching the game. I kind of felt like Eric Berry looked like he could have came back a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't noticeable. Like, if I hadn't been following the Chiefs, if I was a random NFL team, a Jets fan, this is the first time I watched the Chiefs all season. Hey, you guys got this Mahomes character. Let me watch this team. I could not have told you that number 29 in red, that was his first game of the season.
Yeah.
He looked good.
Yeah.
Now, I know he only played the 30 snaps, and they were only using him in certain scenarios, and they were clearly trying to hide him a little bit, like putting him in a single high, kind of keeping him away from contact. Remember the first time he made that hit on, I think it was a 3rd and 5, he got up. He hit Antonio Gates, who we got to talk about how he cooked Ron Parker on that one play.
He cooked Dorian O'Daniel, too, a couple times. Like a guy that should not be cooked by a dude that weighs like 350.
So Eric Berry hits him, and then he jumps up. Like Eric Berry clearly was energized, was clearly gassed up, was flying around yesterday. I would not have been able to tell you if I didn't know that number 29, EB, for the Kansas City Chiefs, that was his first game in 29 game weeks for the Kansas City Chiefs. He said this yesterday to Brooke Pryor after the Chiefs lost to the Chargers.
Not really. I mean, I felt like I probably could have came back last week, but it was still that hesitation, I guess. So I didn't feel it in my spirit. So I just said I'll wait till this week.
Like, what does that mean? Like, I don't know what that means. Like, it just didn't – like, it was a gut feeling said I'm not ready to go. Also in that post-game interview, too, I mean, they ask him, like, do you feel different now than you did 3 weeks ago? And he's like, no. So he felt the same 3 weeks ago, but he didn't feel it in his spirit to be able to come back until last night. So I'm still a little bit confused on if he felt the same way a few weeks ago, why did he take 3 more weeks to come back? Like I don't understand that part of it. I don't know his medicals. I'm sure Eric Berry carries a hell of a lot of weight around one Arrowhead drive. If he said he can't go, then I'm sure they're going to respect it. Plus, he's got the Chiefs over a barrel because they owe him a ton of money this year, and they can't get out of the contract till after last year.
I didn't really hear it that way, though. Like, I didn't really hear it the Eric Berry has the Chiefs over the barrel. I've never had that kind of significant injury, so I'm not going to try to put myself into the body of Eric Berry. But I think it's as important as it is to get the physical part right, so make sure that your physical conditioning is where it needs to be. I also think it's mental, too. You know what I mean? Like, you've gone through significant body changes over the last couple of years, whether it was cancer, whether it was torn Achilles, whether it was the bone spur, whatever it is with Eric Berry. So when he said, I had to get my mind right, I had to get my spirit right, that actually made a lot of sense to me. Man, it's one thing to be physically prepared to go out there and battle and compete at the NFL at the highest level. I would say it's another thing to mentally be prepared for the game-in, game-out grind. I thought you could just see it based on his outward appearance and his demeanor, how emotional he was yesterday and the kind of stuff going through his body yesterday. So I didn't really hear that other than, man, physically I felt good enough a couple weeks ago. I just had to make sure mentally I was where I was. I had to mentally catch up to where I was physically.
Yeah, maybe that's it. But, I mean, that's the whole part of this whole thing that's been really frustrating, at least for me, is that we're left to speculate on so many things when it comes to Eric Berry and his availability. Because I'm with you yesterday. I thought he looked really good. I mean, he played a big role in that first interception that Steven Nelson got. They sent him on a blitz, and he damn near got to Rivers. It obviously hurried him, and Rivers couldn't put enough, you know, mustard on the throw. And Steven Nelson picked it up. I thought Eric Berry looked really good. He got beat a couple of times down, or, you know, on deep balls. But I thought he looked fine. I was just confused by what he was saying. Like, I didn't – and maybe I don't fully understand it. He was also asked, you know, he discussed this whole thing with his parents and when it was a good time to come back. And then he was asked what the plan was. And he said it was between he and coach, and he was going to leave it there. So I don't fully get it. Like if Eric, because it's not like he was out for like a month and like, yeah, no, I'm not quite ready. He said he felt okay 3 weeks ago.
I bet you Eric Berry thought about retiring.
I'm sure he did, and maybe that's part of it. He's been thinking about hanging it up this whole time. I don't know. And that's what I'm saying. Like, Eric Berry has the ultimate leverage on the Chiefs right now. The ultimate leverage, because they can't get out of his contract till after next year. So Eric Berry is not coming back until Eric Berry says he's coming back. And he said he was coming back this week. So he said he wanted to be on the field for the second half. Drove him nuts to not be out there. I'm just saying that there's such a minimal amount of information about how he feels, about the situation around him, about how he felt a month ago, about all this other stuff that we're left to speculate about it.
Maybe I'm unique when it comes to this because I'm reading the text line. A lot of people agree with you. I'm kind of over that part with Eric Berry, at least for me. He's back. I thought he played well. I thought the Chiefs had a pretty clear plan in how they want to execute it. We might disagree of if you were only going to play him 30 snaps in that game, why did you not spread it out over the course of the entire game? Because I'm sitting there thinking about that last drive for the Kansas City Chiefs. I probably ask Eric Berry, can you go back out there? Hey, you played 30 snaps. You know how your body feels. Can you give us 10 more? Can you give us 11 more? That's probably what I do if I'm Sutton. That's probably what I do if I'm Andy Reid. If I'm Emmett Thomas, if I'm Al Harris, I go over there and I ask EB, hey, big fella, we need you on this drive. We need to win this game. We win this game, we clinch the AFC West. Do you want to go back out there and put the decision in his hand? From listening to that entire Eric Berry media availability, it sounds like he wasn't going back out there regardless of what happens. We had a plan here. We executed the plan. I was going to play 30 snaps, however many snaps in the first half, and I was not going to play in the second half regardless of what happens. That's not what I would do, but I think we've seen that the Chiefs, I would say, have been very cautious when it comes to the health of Eric Berry, and I think it's pretty obvious why. They need Eric Berry. They can get to the quarterback. They can do a lot of things. Man, I looked at that defense in terms of who was the leader, who was calling guys out, who was getting guys lined up correctly, positioning and all that kind of stuff. It was Eric Berry. And then I think about the second half when they were getting shredded. What was the big difference between the first half and the second half? Man, it seemed kind of obvious to me. Eric Berry wasn't playing.
No, completely. That's exactly what it was. And maybe, who knows? Because, again, we're left to speculate. They had a plan. They executed. That's all they said. We had a plan. We stuck to it. That's all they said. You know, the Chiefs got the ball to start the second half, go down, they're up 21-7. Raise your hand if you're out there driving right now and you're thinking, man, Arrowhead Stadium at night in a primetime game, no Keenan Allen for the Chargers, no Melvin Gordon, no Austin Eckler, and you got a 14-point lead in the second half. Raise your hand if you thought the Chiefs were going to lose that game. I didn't. So I'm curious if that drive going down and putting them up 14 in the third quarter made them think, yeah, we don't need him. You know, I don't know. Again, the thing that I get from this whole thing is that, man, he said he felt fine 3 weeks ago. Said he could have come back last week. Didn't. Decided today or this week that he was going to come back and play. This thing is all on Eric Berry. You're telling me that Andy Reid and Bob Sutton and those guys don't want him out there? You're telling me that Clark Hunt doesn't want him out there? He's paying him so much money. Eric Berry has all the leverage in this relationship right now.
But maybe this is where I'm different. I don't want Eric Berry out there if he doesn't feel 100%. Like, in this clip, we could play it one more time. I don't want any player out there that feels this way.
Not really. I mean, I felt like I probably could have came back last week, but it was still that hesitation, I guess. So I didn't feel it in my spirit. So I just said I'll wait till this week.
Where's the hesitation? Like what, hesitating for what? If you felt like you could come back and play and you'd missed 28 games to that point. Like, where's this? Like, I'm, listen, I love Eric Berry. I have the ultimate respect for the man, okay? Everything he's been through, I got Eric Berry t-shirts, all right? I love everything about Eric Berry. He is paid to play football, and he's paid well. He's one of the highest paid players in the league. And he's hesitating after 28 weeks, even though he said he felt like he could get out there. Like, I don't get it, man, because the Chiefs win that game if Eric Berry's playing the second half. The Chiefs probably win that game if he gets his 30 reps against the Ravens. And then he plays the entire game last night against the Chargers. And then the Chiefs can have everybody else heal up, you know, for the next 2 weeks. You know, Tyreek Hill can take some time off. You know, Kendall Fuller now with a broken wrist, who played with it last night, nobody knew, had surgery this morning. He's got time. You know, so that's the part that's a little bit frustrating to me. Like, it's not like, you know, if Eric Berry made $500,000 a year and he was a rookie, he'd be like, get your ass out on the field and play. Eric Berry doesn't. He's one of the highest played safeties, and the Chiefs can't get out of his contract. So Eric Berry's going to play when Eric Berry wants to play. You know, and if he says he could have played last year, but he was hesitant and he didn't feel it in his spirit, like, I don't fully get that. You know, that's the part that I don't fully understand.
Maybe I'm trying my best to explain it. I don't want anybody on my football team going out there if physically you don't feel like you can go out there and be you. So when you say I'm hesitant and I don't feel it in my spirit, man, football's not one of those kind of games, at least not in my opinion. I don't want anybody around me at work that's your feeling. If you can't match my level of energy and intensity, stay home and do something else. So if they were telling Eric Berry, hey, We're 10-2. We're 11-2. Do everything you need mentally to come back and help us win a Super Bowl. If that was the agreement that they had and he needs an extra week, an extra 2 weeks to mentally prepare to go out there and help this team, I personally ain't got no problem with it because we can agree the worst thing for Eric Berry is to maybe rush it back a week or two.
Yeah, you don't want him to get hurt either.
He doesn't feel 100% and then he goes out there. That seems like the wrong strategy to me.
Fair enough. I get that part of it and I agree with you. But he said he felt like he could have played last week.
But then he said, I said, I was uneasy. I was hesitant about it. I didn't feel it in my spirit. We agree, feeling physically fine and mentally fine are two completely different concepts.
Yeah, I have a hard time with that too, man. It's been 28 games. You got plenty of time to get your head right for this. You know, I'm not inside the guy's body. So maybe I'm being a complete jerk here. But, man, you're paid well. You felt fine physically. You could have gone physically. You've had 28 days to get your spirit and all that stuff, or 28 games to have that ready to go. You know, I mean, the Chiefs needed that game last night. They had to have that game because now you got to go to Seattle and win, and now you got to come home and beat the Raiders, and guys need rest. Guys are banged up. You need all that stuff. So I just think it puts them in a tough spot. Again, I have the ultimate respect for Eric Berry, but I don't understand this one, man. You're paid to do a job, and you've had 28 games in a year and a half to get mentally back and ready to roll. Like, I don't understand that part of it. Maybe I'm a 48-year-old crusty hard ass that doesn't get it. And that's the part that I just didn't understand in his post-game comments.
Coming up in just a bit, we'll get to something good and something bad from yesterday's Chiefs loss to the Los Angeles Chargers. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Back in on The Drive coming up in about 20 minutes or so. We'll give you a chance to win a gift card to the other place. All you got to do is win today's pop quiz. We'll all take a minute coming up in just a bit. But, Dusty, it's time to get to something good and something bad from yesterday's loss to the Los Angeles Chargers. My first something good. Oh, my goodness. I feel like every week Chris Jones is doing more and more to break the bank. 2.5 sacks yesterday. Chris Jones was living in the backfield for the Kansas City Chiefs. Chris Jones, man, is turning into not just a star, but a superstar defensive player. I'm going to give my first something good to Chris Jones.
He's got to have it. On top of those 2.5 sacks, too, C-Dot. I mean, we're talking about 8 quarterback hits in that game. He was putting pressure all over the place. And I know the rest of the league hasn't played their game this week, but as of right now, an interior defensive line, or two of them actually, are leading the NFL. Aaron Donald's got 16.5 sacks. Chris Jones has 14. First guy to have a sack in 10 consecutive games in the same season in NFL history. What he's doing is ridiculous.
My next something good, I'm going to go with Damian Williams yesterday. 10 carries, 49 yards, 2 touchdowns. He was actually their leading receiver yesterday. 6 catches, 74 yards. Had a pair of touchdowns yesterday. I'm going to give my something good to Damian Williams. I tweeted this out yesterday, and we can talk about it over the course of the show. At some point, we're going to have a conversation. How much of it was Kareem Hunt? How much of it was Andy Reid and scheming? And for you NFL teams out there, why in the world are you spending top draft picks and resources on a running back? Don't you see they grow on trees? The Chiefs keep a running back. I'm going Damian Williams.
Yeah, Damian Williams is the kind of guy you want on your football team. In his post-game comments last night, he essentially said, I don't care where I play. I just love playing football. Put me out there. I don't care. I want to play. I mean, the dude had 123 yards from scrimmage last night. He was phenomenal. I didn't expect that out of him. He was great. He looked electric. Maybe he had some fresh legs because he hadn't been out there a ton all season.
He definitely had some fresh legs.
Yeah, I mean, he was
fast. I was like surprised how fast he was.
Me too. Me too. I thought he looked really good.
My last something good. Patrick Mahomes out of the pocket. Man, I feel like every week he does one or two things that you simply say, wow, there are not many human beings walking the face of the earth that can do something like that. Man, the play where he should have got sacked was an incredible play. I think it was somebody from Football Outsiders. I don't want to spend time trying to think of who it was. It was like, for most quarterbacks for a sack, for some quarterbacks that's an incompletion. For Patrick Mahomes, that's a first down. It's the perfect way of putting it. Man, not many people in that scenario get a first down. And then on the touchdown pass to DeMarcus Robinson,
great.
Just an incredible play from Patrick Mahomes. I'll throw that in my last something good from yesterday's game.
When he's out of the pocket, he's absolutely dangerous. You get a bunch of big guys running around trying to chase him. Eric Fisher threw a great block for him near the sideline on that touchdown pass. He was phenomenal. I mean, he's dangerous when he gets out of the pocket. I tweeted last night, I think Mahomes is a witch, man. I'm serious. Like, the things that he can do I mean, I don't know how he does it. Like, I really don't understand how he does it. If you get the camera angle of that touchdown pass, how did he weave it through three guys and find DeMarcus Robinson back there? It's remarkable. And then for those of you that weren't at the game and actually watched it on television last night, the reaction from Phillip Rivers was, I can't believe he just did that. I'm with you, man. He's phenomenal when he's out of the pocket.
It wasn't all good yesterday.
It was not.
My first something bad. Oh, my goodness, the Chiefs secondary. Whether it's from Kendall Fuller breaking his wrist yesterday, whether it was Orlando, I'll hold you, Scandrick, or Steven, grab you, Nelson, the secondary was getting a workout yesterday. Eric Murray, brother, we got to sit down and have a conversation, my guy. Ron Parker, we got to sit down and have a conversation, my guy. Daniel Sorensen, we got to have a conversation, my guy. The Chiefs secondary yesterday, I'm telling you, they were getting Kanye's workout plan. What was worse, Kanye's Twitter account last night or the Chiefs secondary? I don't know which one, but I'm here to tell you the Chiefs secondary is in my something bad.
It was our fear last night. One of the things I said yesterday, keep an eye on 22 in red. They went after him right out of the gate, got called for holding. And guess who they went after twice? The touchdown at the end, and I think he was supposed to cover Mike Williams. I'm pretty sure he was supposed to be the guy covering him on the two-point conversion. Phillip Rivers is going to pick on 22 all night. He picked on 20 as well. Secondary is an absolute train wreck when Eric Berry's not out there.
Next up on the something bad from yesterday's game, Demetrius Harris. Brother, you are not good enough. You don't produce enough to have the most critical penalty in the game. Chiefs got the ball. We all knew again, if you punted the ball back to the Los Angeles Chargers, you knew what time it was. How do you get a false start in that scenario? Again, Demetrius Harris, you don't do enough to have a penalty like that in that area, in that situation. At least with the pass interference late in the fourth quarter, that was a questionable call. Ain't no question about your false start. You did it. I got to put Demetrius Harris in my something bad, man.
Can I throw Charvarius Ward in there as well?
Of course.
You know, Harris can't get that penalty. He can't jump. And then Charvarius Ward with the block in the back on the kickoff. I mean, those two penalties right there back the Chiefs up right out of the gate. Then they get a three and out and they give up field position. To me, stupid penalties, those are the ones that are the absolute worst. I almost don't mind Steven Nelson grabbing a guy if he thinks it's going to be a touchdown.
That's his default.
I understand, but I mean, like, in the back of the end zone, at least he grabbed a dude and said, hey, we're going to live to fight another day. We might be on the one-yard line, but we got Chris Jones, D. Ford, and Justin Houston, and maybe they can get to the quarterback. Demetrius Harris can't jump. Charvarius Ward, you cannot block a guy in the back on a kick. Those are stupid penalties that kill you. I'm done.
Can you turn down the music, actually? You actually read my something bad, so I don't want to read it anymore. This is Albert Breer, what he had to say. If you guys missed it, the Jacksonville Jaguars, they released veteran strong safety Barry Church. This is how much money Barry Church is due for the rest of the season. He will go on waivers where any team in the NFL can claim him for $529,000. And then you have two options. The Chiefs would have an option to keep him at $6.25 million in 2019 or $6.75 million in 2020. I mean this in all seriousness. If the Chiefs don't at least put a waiver claim on Barry Church, there's a problem. Your safeties are an issue. I would say the biggest issue on this team. $529,000. You at least got to bring him in. Maybe no team claims him in the NFL and he goes on a visit tour. But I'm sorry, for that amount of money and you can just get rid of him at the end of it?
Yeah.
You're telling me with what you've seen from Eric Murray? You're telling me with what you've seen from Dirty Dan Sorensen? You're telling me what you've seen from Eric Murray that there are an improvement over Barry Church? No, can't do it. Brett Veach, you got to at least put a claim in, my guy. You at least got to put a claim down for Barry Church. If you lose on the claim because another team that has a worse record than you claims him, all right, no harm, no foul. There's no reason for you not to put a claim unless he's not playing anymore for the rest of the season because he's severely injured. But according to all the NFL sources, I'm not going to make it seem like I watch a lot of Jacksonville Jaguars games. They're terrible. He has been a healthy and active. There's no reason for you not to put in a claim.
Yeah, Barry Church is 30 years old. He'll be 31 next year. Do you want a 31-year-old safety back there? You got Armani Watts. I don't know. I mean, I would put in a claim on him because, and I would beg to differ on the safety part of it. I think at corner right now you're even worse, especially with Kendall Fuller and the broken wrist that he had surgery on today. But you got to put a claim in on him. I mean, if you're legitimately serious about going after a Super Bowl and making a run in the playoffs, the more depth you got at secondary, the better. I mean, this is a guy that played the AFC title game last year that played on a really, really good defense. Hell, I covered this kid when he was at Toledo. He was a stud in college, too. So you have to put a claim in on this guy. Put a waiver claim. You may not get him, but put a waiver claim in on him.
This kind of feels like, you remember last year whenever James Harrison was available. Now, yeah. I'm not calling him the same player.
Sure.
But it was like, Kansas City, you at least got to put a claim in. It's no money for you to put a claim in on James Harrison. Mm-hmm. You want to know who did it? The Patriots. Yeah. Because the Patriots make smart moves. It's less than $600,000.
Yeah.
Gotta make a claim. Gotta make a claim on Barry Church, in my opinion. Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll give you a chance to win a gift card to the other place during the pop quiz. But first, we'll all take a minute. Let's get it, Dusty. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Well, let's go.
Give me a minute.
You are officially on the clock.
Back in on The Drive, coming up in just a bit, we'll talk about how we have to reevaluate the AFC, and we'll give you a chance to win a gift card to the other place. You can win today's pop quiz, which is a movie. Coming up at 3 o'clock, we'll talk about the biggest question now facing this team. And Fanning says the Chiefs or a movie that he's seen way too many times.
I don't like that movie either.
We'll talk about that coming up in just a bit. But, Dusty, let's take a minute. I love to use Give Me a Minute to talk about the National Basketball Association. So, yesterday while you guys were watching the Chiefs, and the Chargers. I had the top TV on Lakers and Rockets yesterday. Mm-hmm. Before the game.
Yeah.
They were asking LeBron James about one of his teammates who have come up in trade rumors. I just want to play for you LeBron James' answer and tell me that they are not trading this player in the next 30 minutes. Play it for me, Dusty.
It's a business. If you get traded, that don't mean your paycheck stops. So it doesn't matter. You're still going to be in the NBA. Just continue to get better and better. If you get traded, it's part of the business. You know, it happens. I mean, it sucks, that's for sure, you know, but it happens. And so just go about it. You know, I mean, my good friend Kyle Korver just got traded in his 16 years, you know. So, you know, you think it's hard for a younger guy. I think it's harder for an older guy to do it. An older guy with family and kids and things of that nature, been in the same city for years, and then you get traded. I think it's harder for those guys than it is for the younger guys.
Can you imagine if that's the answer whenever LeBron's asked if you're getting traded or not? He didn't really give you a vote of confidence. Like, if I'm KCP, I'm not thinking, you know what, LeBron's got my back. LeBron very easily could have said, that's a guy we want here. That's a guy sure. I want to build around. The messed up part is they got the same agent. Bro, go ahead and start packing. You ain't going to be playing for the Lakers for too much longer. That is my minute for today.
Dusty, can I get a minute, please? We had a little situation in, I believe it's St. Ives, England. Organizers of a Christmas event have apologized to outraged parents after a fire alarm reportedly prompted Santa Claus to burst out of his grotto, rip off his beard, and scream at children to, quote, get the F out, end of quote. As you can imagine, did not go over well with parents. One of the parents said, you should be ashamed of yourself acting like that in front of the children. There is no way you should be allowed near a child. Apparently, Santa was upstairs in his grotto. He was trying to immediately assist the evacuation of the building. But it made me and a lot of people think of Bad Santa and Billy Bob Thornton. A mother told a local news outlet in Cambridgeshire, quote, my friend's little boy was upset as his dad was carrying him when Santa told him to get the F out. Adding that, she had to tell her children that the man wasn't the real Santa, but an imposter who would be going to the naughty list. First off, I didn't know Santa had a grotto. I thought that was only for Hugh Hefner. But apparently, in England, Santa has a grotto.
I did not know that. This is the first time I've heard of that.
Yeah. And B, Santa was dropping F-bombs on little kids, man. You can't be doing that.
I didn't know that. Billy Bob Thornton's character had come to real life. I do have one Christmas thing that no one has ever been able to answer for me. Yep. We know what Santa's like real name is, right? Kris Kringle.
Mm-hmm.
What's his wife's real name?
Mrs. Kringle.
What's her name?
I don't know.
Nobody knows what Santa's wife's name is.
Veronica Claus.
Nobody knows.
What it is?
I don't know what her name is. I'm not even trying to be funny.
Yeah.
I legitimately don't know what Santa's wife's name is.
Google it.
Maybe she tries to keep a low profile. They don't really want to be out there in the public. That's for her husband.
I mean, she's been around for thousands of years. Nobody's figured out her name.
She have an Instagram account? Maybe look
I don't know. I don't know if she's on the gram or not.
Yeah. She's really hot in the Santa Claus, too. Tim Allen did really well.
Yeah. What was her name?
I don't know.
No one knows. No one knows what Santa's wife's name is.
Her name was Principal something.
Yeah. I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Principal something. No one can tell you. Everybody can tell you what Santa's name is. Hell, I can even tell you what the Easter Bunny's name is.
What is the? I didn't know that. What's Easter?
Peter Cottontail.
Oh yeah, I knew that.
Nobody knows what Mrs. Kringle's name is.
I just asked my phone. It says Miss Claus is the wife of Santa Claus.
See what I mean?
That's all it is.
She doesn't have a first name.
What's her maiden name? Do we know?
No, it just says spouse Santa Claus.
See, we don't know anything about her.
Performer Susan Rutten.
We don't know anything about her. She has friends. Yeah. Santa has friends. He has the elves.
You think she goes to a book club?
Hangs I don't know. Out,
drinks wine with her girls.
I have no clue. I'm just telling you, we don't know her name.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm able to have a minute today, but we're going to go ahead and do it anyway.
No.
God, take it easy, man. Enjoy that Nebraska. One Southwest Virginia man got a little overzealous when tasked with clearing his driveway after the most recent snowstorm. Nathaniel Kleppinger decided to leave his shovel in the garage and use a flamethrower to melt the snow instead.
That's amazing.
Nathaniel told ABC affiliate WSET that he hates shoveling snow, so after reading an ad in a magazine about a blowtorch, which he advertised his usefulness in clearing snow, he decided to try it out. He then, of course, gave the most obvious quote. Make sure there's no flammables nearby, he said. Make sure it's only what you want to burn. Make sure afterwards you hang out for about a half hour to make sure nothing else reignites. Public safety officials said that while Nathaniel's method worked, it may not be for everybody. The official encouraged anyone who is thinking about using such device to contact local officials first. I mean, I don't know what to tell you, that we just keep evolving. It was shovels, then snowblowers, and now it's flamethrowers. So props to Nathaniel for doing this move here, because if you look at the picture in the article, it looks like it worked like a charm.
I'm kind of pissed I didn't think of that first.
I'm a firm believer it works smarter, not harder, you know?
It's very smart.
If you're telling me you can just go in there and you can just grab the Charizard and just get the snow out of here, I got no issues with that.
I would love to use a flamethrower.
What's your over-under on the time it took for him to shovel off a suburban driveway?
Well, 8 minutes.
That might be high.
Well, think about it, too. Like, if you're Johnny Shovel, which I am, man, you come back, you're like, man, my back kind of hurts. You know, my quads are burning a little bit. You go out there with a flamethrower.
I'd be damned if I shovel snow in 2018.
They've
given us way too much. That would be like
shoveling snow, actually.
Yeah, I mean, that would be like getting up to turn the, like, think about the amount of work you'll do in your real life to avoid getting up to actually go to the TV to turn it up. You will spend 15 minutes looking for the remote when you could have spent 30 seconds to just get up and do it.
Yeah.
I'd be damned if I shovel my own driveway in 2018. I'm paying one of these kids, hey, you know what? I'll get you some Fortnite bucks. All you got to do outside is shovel the snow. You will have the cleanest driveway you've ever seen in your life. I will never shovel snow ever again.
I don't mind it, man. I got one of those old school. My dad gave me this old school shovel. You know, it's like the plow kind. It's probably like 70 years old. I love that thing, man. I mow right through it. I love it.
Texline just calls you Hank Hill, the real life.
That's fine. I got no problem with that, man. I like shoveling.
What's the point of having kids if they're not the ones doing that?
Oh, they're out
there
with me. Don't get me wrong.
Okay.
I was saying, no doubt you have your kids out there with you, cussing and hollering at them, probably.
You little son of a.
No. What would you do if somebody came to your door, just like a 9-year-old kid, flame torch on the back of his shoulder, like, hey, man, $10 to shovel your driveway?
No, not a 9-year-old with a flamethrower. Ain't happening.
Gasoline cans out here, do you?
I just remember when I was a kid and we had a dishwasher, and my mom would never use it unless it was for something big, like unless it was like Sunday dinner or something. And I remember asking her, why don't we use a dishwasher? She said, because I had you. You are the dishwasher.
No doubt.
Yeah, that's what it was.
That's like, a towel on your
shoulder. Man, you say this. I mean, I can't believe you're almost 50 years old. You got a high school son outside. That ain't how it was going. Whenever it was time to cut the grass, you know who was doing that?
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah.
You will know whenever it was time to go outside and put salt on the driveway and
you.
Do all that. It was me. Yeah. It wasn't no help outside. It was me doing it. So I don't even know what you're talking about.
I'm weird. Like, I like mowing grass, and I don't mind shoveling snow. Now, I'm allergic to the vacuum. I'll say that.
Pop quiz.
Stand by. Going to air. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Exciting quiz program.
Pop quiz.
I'm sorry, but all questions must be submitted in writing.
The pop quiz is presented by Victory Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. The winner gets a gift card to the other place. Do you know how much it is? 25? Probably 25 or 20.
It didn't say, it just said gift card to the other place.
Okay, all right. Well, hopefully it's enough for you to get something great from the other place. Today's pop quiz is a movie. Hit it, Dusty.
These cans are defective. They're springing leaks. Come over here, look at this.
Listen, you better run for cover. You're going to spring a leak.
Huh?
We don't have defective cans. We have a defective pipe out there.
He hates these cans. Stay away from the cans.
If you know what movie that is, be calling number 6 to 913-576-7610, or you can win a gift card to the other place in the pop quiz presented by Victory Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Coming up in 2 minutes, don't turn that dial. The biggest question now facing this team, we'll answer it. We'll get to it. Coming up, it's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.